There we go.
Well, Brother Tony, I think you could have just kept on going. The reality of what you were sharing this morning, even with Scott, what he was sharing this morning as well, is kind of the little sardine package that the Lord put before me probably about a month ago. And the word on top of the little sardine package was Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And I sought to try to unpackage this little sardine case. It opened up to a whole zoo full of creatures. The Holy Spirit is a very, very large topic. It's a very extended topic. It doesn't just start in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's everywhere. But a lot of what Brother Tony was sharing already this morning, and just seeing how it is that, you know, what, you know, as a person accepts salvation and they embrace the Holy Spirit and the Spirit is able to tell them what to do, what happens? Why all of a sudden are we not doing so good anymore? Why all of a sudden do we now all of a sudden find ourselves having liberties to instead of liberties from? And so it's one of those things where, like I said, I just ask for mercy this morning. I ask for patience this morning. I don't have this whole thing figured out. I've spent some time just kind of seeking out that which is the Holy Spirit in Old Testament / New Testament in regards to me, in regards to you, in regards to somebody that just accepted the Lord 2 weeks ago, a day ago, versus somebody who's accepted the Lord for 60 years, 70 years plus. But hoping to encourage you this morning, hoping to challenge you this morning, possibly stepping on your toes this morning, and it's not going to be me. I just ask that you just, this is not Pete Bartz delivering anything to you this morning. I'm just a vessel. I'm seeking to just be emptied of myself and simply share that which God has placed upon my heart to share. And we're going to try to do that in a very quick fashion. So I think with that, we'll just open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, just come to you this morning. Just want to thank you so much for these brothers and sisters that have gathered here together, Father, to hear your word. I pray that you'd still my heart, calm me, Lord. Father, as I seek to open and expound upon that which you've laid before me, I just pray that you'd grant us ears to hear, hearts that are willing to receive that which you have for us. God Almighty, you are in control, you are in charge. I pray that you would be in control of my tongue and my mind, that I would forget those things that you would not have me to share, and I would remember things that I've not written down. God Almighty, I just want to yield myself to you as a vessel. Oh Lord Jesus, even so, come and deliver that which you have. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, the Holy Spirit is that which empowers us. The Holy Spirit is that which provokes us. There's many things of the Holy Spirit that are characteristics. Morning. Attributes that we find ourselves in, and so I'm hoping to go through some of these things a little bit. Here's my pizza note. That's my note. I was inspired while I was eating pizza. But just realizing that there's so many aspects of the Holy Spirit that maybe we don't think about sometimes. And we're going to start by reading in 1 Peter. I'm hoping to jump through some scriptures here. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to get through all of them, but we are going to try. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. We're going to go right down to 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellency glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in dark places until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So just focusing on that, so we're going to jump right into Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. So holy men moved by the Holy Spirit. So the holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit. And we have many prophecies of that, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I'm just going to run through some of these here. So Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. And I heard this in prayer this morning already, just to me, just kind of granting me a little bit of more confidence in that which the Lord had placed upon my heart. I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. This is a foretaste. So hopefully, as we walk together this morning, it's like a climax. Like you're walking through something that's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And I feel honestly like last week I shared, the older I get, the more I don't know. And I feel like this morning before you. What am I going to say? Nothing. I have nothing to say. I don't know what to say. There's so much to say. But just as a climatic journey with us through the Old Testament into the New Testament, and like this thing is coming, this thing is coming, this thing is coming, this thing is coming, and it's prophesied over and over again, it's coming, and all of a sudden, boom, it's there. And you experience the new birth, and the Holy Spirit fills you, and your eyes are open to truth that you never seen before, and conviction begins, and you obey. So this is part of the journey that we can hopefully go through this morning. So there's the beginning. There's, you know what, even before that, let's go a little bit further than that. Let's go Genesis. It's even further than that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. You know, I'll begin the beginning here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and the void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Again, I'm going to repeat that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. That's what happens when a person gets born again. Let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. He puts a separation. He puts a separation there, right in the beginning, between that which is light and that which is darkness. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a separation between that which is good and that which is not good. There's a separation between that which is righteous, that which is unrighteous. There's a separation in that which is pleasing to God and that which is not pleasing to God. This we get out of three verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In simplicity of the moving of God, moving upon darkness. Before Christ, we were in darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon us. And guess what happened? There was light, right? Our eyes were opened to see things that we'd never seen before. So we're going to keep on going. Jeremiah 32 and 39 and 40. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of the children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Tony was sharing this morning, as far as, let's say, a godly soul repentance, what does it do? It puts a fear in you. It puts a carefulness in you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's his job, is to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his job. He moves in our hearts, that when we do something wrong, it bothers us. There's something ain't right about this. And so, again, working in the Holy Spirit, separating between that which is darkness and separating that which is light. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I asked the Lord to guide my fingers today because I got lots of different scriptures. So Ezekiel chapter 36, my son, I was going to ask him to come turn the pages because he gets the scriptures always before I do. I don't think he was willing to. He was going to hide right here in the pulpit. I was just going to give him my Bible. Oh, thank you. So Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 27. Again, if you don't feel like you need to go there this morning, you can just try to listen. And then here Ezekiel, again, holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit are saying this. That's why I wanted to start with 1 Peter there, that we understand there's authority that's behind this. Holy men of God being moved by the Holy Spirit are saying this, prophesying of that which is yet to come. So here Ezekiel, moved by God, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. What does the Spirit of God do in your life? What does the Spirit of God do in my life? Does it empower me? Or do I merely have a profession? Do I have a confession? Well, I believe. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? The devils believe and they tremble. It's a fearful thing that our confidence in our walk with God is, I'm a believer. Believer, that's good. But does it cause us to walk carefully? Are we empowered by the Holy Spirit to give us power to overcome? Are we overcomers in this life? We'll go to Joel chapter 2. If I can find it. Again, these are just little glimpses of that which is prophesying of the Holy Spirit to come. So Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Right? So that's what he's going to do. And we jump into the New Testament now. So Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, he says... And again, this is John the Baptist. We're going to visit him a little bit later on. And John the Baptist here, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, as you step in the faith, or as you've been walking in the faith, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire typically in the scriptures is refining. Fire in the tip, it's God is a consuming fire. There's many different verses that talk about fire, and what does fire do? It refines that your faith is more precious than gold and silver, though it be tried by fire. We have a choice when God puts forth trials in our lives. We have a choice. How do we respond to that? When he's trying us and he's seeking to refine us in our faith and what it is that we're trusting in, what it is that we're believing in, are we trusting in, as Scott was sharing, are we trusting in our sword? Are we trusting in our shield? Are we trusting in our armor as we come up against the difficulties of this world, as we come against the battles of this world, as we come against temptations that come our way? What are we trusting in? I'm a smart guy. I can avoid that. And yet... interestingly enough, we find ourselves gravitating towards that. Why? Because you're all made of the same thing that I am. Paul says, in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. We're all tempted when we're drawn away by our own lusts and we're enticed. It's not the same thing, but it's still the same thing. Right? So what are we trusting in? As God seeks to refine us, as God seeks to conform us to the image of Christ, we ask the question, how do I respond to that? Do I shirk that? Do I try to move away from that? But anyways, there John the Baptist on the scene, making that proclamation that there's going to be one that's coming. I'm baptizing you with water into repentance right now. This isn't your salvation. This is the old colony. Toot busai, toot busai. Toot busai means repent. That was the John the Baptist baptism, repent. Repent and do what? Well, the answer hadn't been given yet. Repent, right? So repent. Turn away from your ways and go. I'm a forerunner that's going to be leading you to that which is going to grant you salvation, the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 8. We're going to go back into the Old Testament just for a smidge here. So we're going to visit Noah a little bit here. And I as I was reading this, I developed an amazing respect for Noah and just seeing the position that he was in. So Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and 8. So, and God saw the wickedness and man was great God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is God who has created man in his image, and he's looking down upon fallen man, and this is what he's seeing. And here is a fearful, sobering statement that I find in the Bible in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have even made them. God forbid that our profession of Christianity causes the Lord to repent. Our lifestyle, what we give ourselves to, God forbid that it causes him to be grieved. That's an aspect of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? Did you know that we can suppress the Holy Spirit? There's different things that we can do to the Holy Spirit, and it's simply by something that was mentioned earlier on this morning too, is when we fall into sin, here sin is abounding, iniquity is abounding. If we fall into sin, what happens? It grieves God. Is there forgiveness for our sins? Amen. There is. Hallelujah. But may that not be in our back pocket to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid that we hold that ace in our back pocket and say, well, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us for all unrighteousness. There it is, Lord. You know that scripture, Lord. Yes, it's there. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So now here, Adam. Here in Genesis, Noah, God's ready to destroy everybody. Verse 8. I was in tears when I read this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's one man upon the earth that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Every single one of you, myself included, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's where we came from. Yes, Adam and Eve, but everybody else is destroyed after that. After that was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So considering Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he looked down upon Noah, he's like, I'm not going to destroy everybody. I'm going to save 8 people out of everybody that exists, 8 people. So to me, that for me, it was amazing to see that how it is that there is that moment there where God was going to just simply wipe out everything and everyone, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And so he decided not to. And he allowed life to continue. And praise the Lord, that's why we're here today, right? That's why we're here today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Noah to exist, him and his wife and his children. Thank you, Lord, for creating an ark, right? A place of refuge that they were able to escape the wrath of God that was still poured out upon the rest of humanity, like Tony was talking about as well this morning. We're not going to go to these scriptures, but I just want to go through a little bit as far as, let's say, the Holy Spirit moving upon people. There wasn't a baptism of the Holy Spirit back in those days, but God made manifest. He gave an appetizer. He gave some little instances here and there where the Spirit of God was moving. So we find that, and again, you brothers that are well-knowledgeable in the scriptures, you probably know a lot more than these. I just brought forth a couple of these here just as an example. So Joseph, as he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, it says that, is there such a man as this whom the Spirit of God is on? So the Spirit of God was upon Joseph. And you look through his life, and you see a beautiful picture of Jesus, right? As we look through his life, the Spirit of God was upon him. It granted him authority, granted him strength, it granted him peace with Pharaoh. He was highly exalted to a prominent position in life. And as the Spirit of God is upon us, he's going to bless us. He's going to bless us, and we're going to be able to move forward in life. Joseph, he could have been the most discouraged person in the world. You follow that story. He could have been extremely discouraged. And yet he trusted God. Like Scott was sharing this morning, he trusted God. And he continued. And the Spirit of God was upon him. And it was made manifest as he made wise decisions. Question for ourselves this morning. Is the Spirit of God causing you to make wise decisions this morning? Or are we like sheep doing our own thing. Wow, maybe that's something to you, but that's not a thing, nothing to me. Right? Let's be mindful of that. Exodus, you got Bezalel, hope I said that right. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God in all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This is the guy that got the temple prepared. This is the guy that was good at working with metal and stone and all these other things. This guy was a wise guy, and the Spirit of God was upon him. In Numbers, Balaam was called to, by Balak, was called to curse the children of Israel. And the Spirit of God comes upon him, and what does he do time and time again, three times over? He blesses the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Right? When the Spirit of God is upon us, we can't curse. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Hey, did you hear that? Oh, I can't believe that he actually did that. Did you hear about Doof? Yeah, no wonder, eh? Yeah, I would never would have guessed that. What does the Spirit of God, when it's upon us, do? It causes us to bless people. It doesn't cause us to curse people. Right? So being mindful of that. This is practical applications for us. Right? So I'm just seeking to challenge myself, challenge all of us this morning. You know, as we have made a good profession, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Oh, praise God. I hope that you're beyond a believer. I hope you're more than a believer. I hope you're one that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what God's desire is for all of us, right? It's to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just to believe in something. Believing in something, super. The devils believe, but they tremble. And Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, right? So what does he do? He leads a massive army, and he's able to go and to defeat with very little effort. Why? Because he trusted God. But sometimes, even though we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we put out fleeces, right? I put out fleeces sometimes. Gideon put out fleeces. Lord, are you sure? Can you just confirm my feeble faith? Can you confirm it a little bit, please, Lord? I do that sometimes. I'm like, I'm not sure about this. I want to confidently move forward in what you have, not my intellect, not my thoughts, not how smart I am. So we're like Gideon, even though the Spirit of God was upon him. Samson, hi-yi-yi, that's a good example right there. In Judges 13:25, it says, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. So the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. What did it move him to do? He tore a lion in half with his bare hands. Right? They tied him up with fresh ropes, ripped these things like nothing. But what happened then? Takes a jawbone of a donkey, slaughters 1,000 men. That is supernatural. Walking away with that, you look at these exemplary examples of human strength. You look at that and say, okay, so there's an example there. Holy Spirit, empower me. I'm not saying we're going to pick up cars and throw them or anything like that, but empower me in the spiritual realm that I can defeat 1,000 temptations that come against me to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's by faith. It's the shield of faith that rises up. And all those things play together in the New Testament. But understanding that we have so many little glimpses of the Holy Spirit moving, being upon people, giving them wisdom, giving them discernment, right? The Spirit will lead us into all truth, keeping us from deception. So many different things that we look at there. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you have the Spirit of God coming upon Saul. So what did it cause Saul to do? He prophesied, right? So I don't want to pick on anybody this morning, but I am going to pick on two gentlemen, right? So you got Gabriel, you got Steve Dyke. Bless you, brothers. You are provoking to me. You encourage me. You coming up here and sharing what God is doing in your life. What does the Spirit of God do in you? It causes you to come up here and prophesy. Testify of the Lord. What is he doing in your life? Right? I sat there in my seat. I was like, I'm a chicken. I'm a little chicken baby bird. I'm scared to go up behind the pulpit. And these brothers are up there and they're sharing. They're testifying of what God's doing in their lives. They're testifying how there's opportunity to share with somebody. Right? So I was extremely provoked last Sunday. And so for me, just seeing that, what does the Spirit of God cause us to do? It causes us to prophesy. It causes, I'm not saying we're speaking the future. We're telling people the future and stuff like that. Prophesying, speaking a word of edification, speaking a word in season, speaking a word of rebuke, reproof, speaking a word. Right? So bless you, brothers, for that. Good example. Hope you don't mind I'm picking on you. It's not a bad picking. It's a good picking, right? Yeah. All right. That's good. The Bible says let another man praise you, so that's okay. So then we have later on in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:13, and obviously I think we all know King David, right? So the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was anointed king of Israel, and was he perfect? No. Can we walk away with that for ourselves as well? Is the Holy Spirit going to make you perfect? It's going to sanctify you if you allow it to. That it will do if you allow it to. So then we jump into the New Testament, and in Luke chapter 1, actually, we'll go there. Yeah, this is exciting times. We're getting closer to the actual outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so we're gonna see if we can wrap that up in about 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours, I'm not sure. We'll see. Just kidding. Yeah, so go to Luke chapter 1. And here we have the situation of Mary, Elizabeth, and verse 35. So the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and in verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So here is spirit and flesh coming together, and before it comes, or sorry, the beginnings of that which is Christ. And in verse 36 says, "And behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren." And this is John the Baptist's mom, I think we all know, right? "And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So again, so I'm looking at this, so the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her and so forth. And so what does she do? Does she fight against it? Does she buck against it? No. "Be it unto me according to thy word." As we read God's word, and God is seeking to sanctify us, God is seeking to do a work in our hearts. And he's saying, hey, put that thing away. This is a fleshly lust that's warring against your soul. This is taking you away from God. Are we willing to yield to that? Because there's another aspect of the Holy Spirit that I want us to consider this morning. I think this is the most dangerous one. It's found in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 5:19. It says, "Quench not the Holy Spirit." I think that's probably, for me, that's the scariest aspect of the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. God is trying to speak to you. You know how you can quench it? Disobey. God is trying to tell you something. Hey, you shirk it off. God is trying to tell you something. I will, some other day. God's trying to tell you something. It's not that bad, Lord. I don't think it's a problem. God's trying to tell you something. And you continue to push it away. And you continue to push it away. All of a sudden, you find yourself, you've got earmuffs. I was going to bring some earmuffs up here this morning. As God tries to speak to us, our hearing becomes dim as we quench the Holy Spirit. We give ourselves to sin. What happens? We grieve the Holy Spirit. But the verse that Tony read this morning there in 2 Corinthians, a godly sorrow of repentance. Amazing what that'll do. Humility. Being open and honest before the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I know you've been trying to help me. I know you're trying to do something in my life. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me. Help me. So, again, so we have Mary, and she's yielded. She just simply says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." As we read God's word, allow it to speak to you. Allow it to change you. Right, James? Tony read that this morning. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer of the word as well. Right? Because what happens? The Bible says that if you're not a doer and a hearer only, you deceive yourselves. That's a dangerous place to be. A person that's in deception don't know that they're being deceived. It's very scary. It's not something that God desires. So let's continue here. In verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Hey, cuz. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist, woo, he's excited. Jesus is here. I can feel it. Jesus is here. Right? So the babe leapt in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in the ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So then Mary has a song of praise, right? So I'm not going to sing that praise there. I was going to sing a little something there. But to me, it's amazing what happens when the Spirit of God is moving upon a person. There's joy. There's excitement, right? And we've experienced that at times. I know that we have. Let's say a person first gets saved and they're delivered. I remember sitting in my little, what in the world was I driving at that time? A Pontiac black, little. I think it was like a little black Pontiac Sunfire when I met God. There I am on the side of the road, bawling like a baby. Why? Because the truth of God's word penetrated into my heart. I received the Holy Spirit. A volcano went off, and I couldn't stop crying. Not because I was sad, because I was so happy. I couldn't believe it that all my sins were forgiven. I couldn't believe it that God was going to prepare me to be a husband that my wife deserved. He was going to prepare me to be a father that my children deserved. And I tell you, that just continues as we continue to obey him. So if for a moment, step back in your minds and your hearts when you first got saved. Step back in your minds and hearts when you first realized my sins are forgiven. I'm set free. Woo! God was against me and now he's for me. Praise the Lord. He was against me. I was without God and without hope in this world, but no longer. I am a fellow heir of the saints. Right? Just reflect on that a little bit. Just think that. Just when you got saved, when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? What did you get saved from? So we get saved. Well, you get saved from something. What did you get saved from? And since you've gotten saved from certain things, like Tony was saying, have some of those things that you got saved from, have they ended up back in your heart, back in your grasps? And is God trying to help you release some of those things? Right? So again, let's remember, live life not like this. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord. Oh, sorry, Lord. I meant like this. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord. Yes, I know that that's a fleshly desire that wars against my soul. I understand that, Lord. Right? So everybody has little things that you can fill into those blanks. I'm not going to name any specifics this morning, but I guarantee you, if you're made of the same stuff that I am, you have fleshly lusts that war against your soul. I guarantee you. And God is knocking on your heart. If the Spirit of Christ is inside of you, God is knocking on your heart, and he's asking you to let those things go. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ inside of you, it's him coming to you, appealing to you in conviction. What does the Spirit do? Convicts of sin, righteousness, judgment. The Holy Spirit desires to be part of you. Maybe you've never really experienced the Holy Spirit moving. Maybe you have a profession. I'm getting ahead of myself on that, some of these things, but let's... Here's a very sobering verse I want us to consider. I'm going to skip past a whole list here, and I think that's going to be very good for us. I have a list of different things. Again, if you have time and some time, if you want to open up a sardine case and find an elephant, study out the Holy Spirit. I just have a few scriptures here in light of how the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit's not in a box. It's given in so many different ways. Laying on of hands. It's Cornelius. It's being preached. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. It fell upon them. Right? At Pentecost, what happened? Cloven tongues of fire. They were waiting for the promise. They knew that it was coming. And all of a sudden, what happened? Cloven tongues of fire rest upon every one of them. Right? So you got the scenario of Peter, too. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about something that's power more powerful than Samson? You got Peter. Let's go there a little bit. See if I can find that. With Peter. No, you know what? That's okay. I'll just say it. You'll have to find it yourself. Peter, I think it's in Luke, towards the end of the, in, you know what? I am going to go there. I'm not going to just misquote this. So in Luke, you've got Judas, he betrayed. Here's Peter denies Jesus Christ. And verse 24 of chapter 22, it says, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." Mr. Bold Peter, "I'll die with you." Peter followed afar off. Okay, strange. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid," here comes a young lass, "a certain maid beheld him," she's looking at him, trying to figure out this guy, "sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'Hey, this man also was with him.' And he denied him, and he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.'" "I'll die with you, Lord." "Woman, I know him not." Something seems a bit contrary there. In verse 28, "And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know him not. I am not.'" Verse 59, "And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he's a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what you say.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly." He wept bitterly. Keep that in mind for a second. Let's jump into Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So again, I've missed a lot of the comings of that which is the Holy Ghost coming so forth. And so then, you know, the promise was told and it was going to be given. So now here in Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Excuse me. And suddenly, put yourself in this place for a moment. You're in a room. The guy that you've been following around for 3 years is gone. But he said that he was going to send something. In John 14, if you got time one day, go through John 14. It speaks to the Comforter. It talks about what is the package of that which is the Holy Ghost that is promised to us. But now he says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, a multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, 'Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?'" And so it mentions a whole bunch of these names that I can't pronounce anyways. And so then in verse 14, now go back to this disciple cowering by a fire barrel. Okay? "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, 'You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" Doesn't sound like the little timid guy that was hiding by a burn barrel after he was confronted that, "Hey, aren't you one of his followers? For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And he goes on. And then he says in verse 22, and ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So he keeps on going there. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right? So here you have a difference. What happened? What happened to, by the burn barrel? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. And all of a sudden, boldly declaring before thousands of people, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what happened. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Does the Holy Spirit make a difference in our lives? Does it make a difference in my life? Does it make a difference in your life? Does the Holy Spirit empower you? And we've seen different examples of how it empowers us. Does it guide and direct you into all truth? Or does it cause you to justify and excuse untruth? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Just a question for ourselves. I will make it a bit shorter yet here. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And again, please consider, this is in love. This is in consideration of reality of your life. I'll just allow the Word of God to speak for itself. So Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If I can find it. Is it? That's not even the one. There is a scripture, but I guess it's not chapter Romans 8, verse 9. Oh, you know what? Because I'm in Corinthians. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. So Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now here's a question I want you to soberly consider. Young believer, old believer, medium believer, doesn't matter. Again, remember, to believe is one thing, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit is another thing. So just consider this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell inside of you. Here's a sobering statement. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, allow that to saturate into your heart a bit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you are not his. If I do not have the Spirit of Christ, I am not his. Okay, let's go to John chapter 3, verse 5. It's a very well-known passage. Just 5 to 8. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, there's going to be evidence of it. If you want to look at the fruit of the Spirit, go to Galatians. We're not going to go there this afternoon. Thank you. There's evidence. When it's really windy outside, you can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. Right? There was a tornado that touched down, I think, in London a few days ago. That one, I guess, you could technically see because there's lots of debris that was in there. But the reality, if there's a wind that's blowing outside, you can't see the wind, but you can see that it's doing something. There's evidence of it moving. So a question for myself, a question for yourselves this morning, is there evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in your life? Is there power? Have you been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Let's go to, Paul asks a question to some of these gentlemen, and after this I will have one more scripture to just finalize here. But he says, in one of these notes, I think it's in Acts 19. Let's go to Acts 19. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Well, these are disciples. Why is he asking them such a silly question? "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." They're not rebellious against the thought. They're just like ignorant, like, "Oh, I didn't realize, well, there's a Holy Ghost." They said, "Okay, well then, unto what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism," which was a baptism of repentance. Right? Then said Paul, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." So now he's expounding to them, here's the way of salvation. It's not in John the Baptist's baptism. That's not going to grant you salvation. It's in Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. They testified. They prophesied. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives. Allow my tongue to be loose to be able to confess, to testify of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Right? So he's challenged there. He challenges a person that believes, and I did that a while ago. I asked somebody that was a believer, I said, "Hey, have you been born again? Or like, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" I believe. "Well, no, that's nice." I said, "It's good that you believe." I said, "But have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again?" Well, I believe. "Okay, so you haven't received the Holy Spirit. You haven't been born again." "Well, I guess not." And so I was just encouraging the person that they need to get born again. So to all these things, my desire, again, there's lots more to say, but I just want us to consider our confession of faith, our profession of what we believe in. Does our life match up to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there conviction of sin? Or is there a justification in excusing of sin? Conviction of sin. Righteousness. Do I have power to walk in righteousness? Conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. Am I aware that there's consequences to my actions? We can go to Galatians and sowing and reaping. That's a good one to go to. There's consequences to our actions. So we need to be mindful and careful what we give ourselves to. Like Brother Tony was saying this morning already, is that, what does my life declare? Is it, or even Scott was saying this morning too, is my life a declaration that I trust in myself, in my discernment of judgment, in my discernment of righteousness, in my discernment of these things, or am I trusting in God? Am I allowing him to dictate to me what is righteous and what is unrighteous? Or do I gather together? Was it Rehoboam? What was Solomon's son's name? Was that Rehoboam? Somebody, quickly. Rehoboam. Okay, what is Solomon's son? Okay, so Rehoboam. Are we allowing these people to speak into our lives? Or do we gather together with people of like-mindedness and we can justify and excuse what God is trying to do in our lives and we're okay with this? That's dangerous. Find somebody that's going to disagree with you. Hang out with them for a bit. See what the Spirit of God tries to do in you. I do it. The flesh doesn't like it, but I do it. Let's close with Revelations. Uh, The Spirit speaks a lot in Revelations. And I heard somebody even, I'm not sure if it was in prayer or what this morning, but just taking heed, hearing what the Spirit of Christ is saying. My desire this morning, please hear my heart, is not to try to cause somebody who has a weak conscience, a sensitive conscience, causing them to doubt their salvation. That's not my desire. My desire is to simply provoke you, is that if you've made a confession of faith, if you say that you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, my desire is for you to examine yourself. Paul says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. My desire for us this morning is to examine ourselves. Is there evidence of the Holy Ghost moving in my life, or is there evidence of me moving in my life? Just to be sober in that. Is he guiding and directing me, or am I guiding and directing me? Because he says that he will guide and direct us into all truth. Am I being guided and directed by my truth or someone else's truth? So, again, please hear my heart in that. It's not to try to condemn anybody this morning. As Romans chapter 8 says, that there's no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. If we walk after the flesh and we sow to the flesh, it's destructive. It doesn't do us so good. In Revelation chapter 3, and again, you have different warnings that the Spirit has. You have Christ, he's speaking to, you know, Church of Philadelphia, Laodicea, Thyatira, Pergamos, Smyrna, Ephesus. And at the end of it, he says this every single time. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said unto the churches. When I first asked the Lord, as far as, let's say, a word for, let's say, the church at Salem, me, myself, included, what is the Spirit saying? This is what came up. So please don't ignore it. I believe it's something that we need to consider. As far as life continues on, we get busy. We let things slip. We get busy. We go our own way. We get busy. We neglect our children. We get busy. We neglect our marriages. We get busy. We neglect our everything. Fill in the blank. We get busy. We get consumed by fleshly lusts that war against our souls. If you walk away with anything, you don't hear anything else this morning, God loves you, and his desire is for you to be able to walk in discernment of a fleshly lust that wars against your soul, something that is not good for you that he's asking for you to put away. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Just do it. God will bless you. God will bless you for it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is the Holy Spirit. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the churches. I think with that, we'll close the word of prayer.